Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us. John, you talk about the attributes that Jim Boylan has. It's gone from, you know, hard-nosed defensive guys to offensive player coaches, right? Scott Skiles to Vinny Del Negro to Tibbs to Fred and now to Jim Boylan. It feels like it just goes back and forth each time there's a coaching move. What is your type of coach?
The thing that I want more than anything in a coach, two things. I want them to be stand-up guys who hold players to a standard and hold them accountable. And in a way that is, you know, you have to have confrontation, but you can't be combative with that. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, I truly believe in the teaching component of our game. It's a grind. It's paying attention to the little things. I believe in coaches who get into that grind every day because I think ultimately that makes you better.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission to have more people sign up as organ, eye, and tissue donors. What drives her? Roxanne received a heart transplant made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day to devote myself to signing up the most people in the United States. That's my goal.
Now she's a powerful force for good. What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smith, two-time Olympic gold medalist and ESPN analyst. Only 41% of women college teams are coached by women, and the numbers are even lower at the youth level. Female coaches made an incredible impact on me. That's why I'm passionate about helping women level the playing field. WeCoach is a nonprofit focused on building a community of female coaches of all sports and levels. Through programming, resources, and support, we're helping change the profession. Visit WeCoachSports.org to get involved.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. You're his teammate. What would you say to him? How do you console him and try, because he's going to be your teammate, at least contractually. He's slated to be your teammate next year. How do you get him right?
That's a tough one. I'll be harsh here because I just believe as a professional, you're paid to do your job. I played with a whole lot of teammates over 16 years, and they were guys that I loved, but they just weren't good enough. And if they weren't good enough as a teammate, you have to be fair to all the rest of your teammates. You want somebody better in there. You want somebody that can do their job. And especially when Cody walked in there, they knew what he got because he was the big kicker signing that was coming in to solve all the problems. And he did.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Apply. Additional terms online.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. The Wolves are home Saturday and Sunday against Central Division rivals. Saturday is Wolves Tote Bag Giveaway Night, courtesy of Pet Supplies Plus. And Sunday, receive a free GameWorks gift card. For more information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. 2 days after Manny Machado signed with the Padres, it's been fairly quiet on the Bryce Harper front. Bob Nightingale says the White Sox are out of the Harper sweepstakes, and the Phillies are focused on Harper, according to John Heyman. To football, the Jets are reportedly concerned that running back Le'Veon Bell is all the way up to 260 pounds. Bears expected to release tight end Deion Sims. The Blackhawks have jumped the Wild in the standings and are now tied for a playoff spot with the Avalanche. Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim struck and killed a man on the highway during his drive home from last night's game. The man was outside of his vehicle following an unrelated accident. No evidence of alcohol or drugs were detected. And in college basketball, 7th-ranked Michigan is 23-3 with two of their three losses over the last five games. Wolverines at Minnesota tonight. This update was brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. And by Credit Union One, Chicagoland's credit union. Credit Union One offers competitive, low-rate jumbo mortgage loans. Learn more at creditunion1.org. Equal housing opportunity, MLS number 384759. Each account insured up to $250,000 by member's choice. This institution is not federally insured. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Lakeside Bank.
11.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
Nine, ten.
It's not ten. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where?
To 11.
11, exactly.
11?
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We began the show by talking about last night's spectacular, if not spectacularly devastating, injury to Duke's Zion Williamson and all that is going on between amateurism in basketball, playing for free, wearing these shoes, making money for the shoe companies, getting no money for yourself until you turn pro, and everything that's involved with that. A little bit of NFL talk with Mike Florio, talked about baseball cracking down on sign stealing in sort of draconian ways, clearly evincing a larger scale problem than they cared to cop to last year. Maybe.
There's no problem here. There's no problem here, but if you do, we'll kill you.
We'll kill you. We'll take away your international signing money and draft picks. And what else? There's some of the history between players and their shoes and liability, etc.
This is not a heist. It is not a robbery, but it is a swindling. So I figured it fit right into the Midday Midway. A U.S. District Court judge sentenced a Florida man, of course, last week to more than 2 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to using his business to launder money from his clients, including members of the NFL. Financial advisor Jason Christopher Jernigan admitted last spring using his access to client bank accounts to convert and misappropriate about $1.8 million. Jernigan pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering. He was sentenced to 2 years, 4 months in prison. He was also ordered to repay nearly $1.3 million to the victims. So what happened here was this. Court documents said the men charged an annual fee of $15,000 to $50,000 to provide prospective and newly drafted NFL players financial wealth management services that included investment advice, general guidance, and bill payments. Okay, makes sense. Here's where it gets weird. In exchange, clients were required to give Jernigan and Rowan access to their bank accounts so they could make bill payments, according to court documents. They also required clients to move their accounts to specific banks. Who's doing that?
Who's agreeing to that?
So all I need is $20,000 and your PIN. Just give me those two things and we're all set and ready to go. Shouldn't the NFL have some sort of like consortium where the rookies get together and go, hey,
they
so
do.
People are going to ask for... Oh, they do? I feel like they should probably cover this in that then. Of course they have one. They've got advice on everything from what you should do when you're out on the town to financial management. And still, some guys are swinging and missing and handing over 20,000K and their PIN number?
Was it Chris Carter that said have a fall guy?
What do you mean have a fall guy?
Don't you remember? It was Chris Carter that was actually...
I don't remember saying have a fall guy.
Yeah, he was a speaker at one of the rookie symposia. And he said, look, if you're going out to the club, make sure you have somebody who's going to take the rap for you when you get out of there.
Jimmy, here's your job tonight.
Yep.
Fall on the sword.
Yep, it's like Sam Rockwell in Galaxy Quest. Have you ever heard of the SS Oregon?
No.
It was a shipwreck. The ship was sailing from Liverpool, England to New York City with 852 people aboard. On March 14th, 1886, it collided with a schooner near Fire Island, New York.
Schooner is a sailboat.
And it sank. All but one person survived. Now, biotechnology students at the State University of New York at Cobleskill uncorked a bottle from the shipwrecked SS Oregon. There was an assortment of artifacts recovered from the Oregon, and one of them was a beer bottle.
So these biotechnology students are trying to successfully extract yeast from this bottle of beer, and a local brewer, Sirius Brewing Company, has said if they can extract yeast, they will brew a beer with the yeast from this particular shipwrecked beer. They're doing this because apparently an Australian brewer did the same thing from a yeast recovered from a 220-year-old shipwreck. And you can do this because of the chemical nature of yeast. I learned this last week from Budweiser. The yeast that is currently used in Budweiser is another generation of the very same first yeast ever used to brew Budweiser.
Hmm.
It's sort of like a sourdough with the mother dough.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
As long as there's a little bit of the same dough
that's passed along
and it regrows, and that very same yeast can just stay on through multiple iterations and generations. So they're going to try to do this and brew a beer from the very same yeast. So if nothing else, like you say, pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I don't know where are you at on the Olympics as entertainment?
I find them absolutely reprehensible, inexcusable, and immensely entertaining.
Okay, good, because that's about where I'm at. It's a horrible run for your city. It's a bad thing for all of the organizations, and the IOC is just absolutely reprehensible. But damn, are they the perfect background noise. Just wonderful stuff to have on when you get home during the afternoon. The 2024 games are in Paris, and they have voted on the games they're adding to the Olympics. So in 2024, you will watch skateboarding. You will watch climbing, which I am absolutely thrilled about. I climb a little bit, and I've watched some of the speed climbing that they're adding into the games in 2024. These guys are going up 30-foot, and women, going up 30-foot walls, or if not more, I think it's 35 feet, in something like 6 or 8 seconds. I mean, this is bam, 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 done, 35, you tap the wall and you're good. This is incredible. I'll show you. It's absolutely breathtaking to watch.
It's like a human spider.
It's unhuman.
Do they have a gladiator chasing them up the wall?
God, I'd watch that too. Surfing is also going to be added to the 2024 games. The weird sport that's being added in is breaking or break dancing.
Break dancing. Sport.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily how it's going to be judged. I assume it's going to be the same as, you know, figure skating or whatever. What I didn't know is that it's very popular in France, break dancing. B-boys from France have won the Red Bull BC1, one of the premier annual 1v1 battles, 3 times. Only the U.S., where breakdancing was created, has more winners since 2004 with 4. Korea also has 3 wins. Break dancing is now an Olympic sport. There are 3 sports that lost in the vote that I'd probably rather watch than breakdancing. Not that I won't give it a try if it's on. Squash is out of the Olympic Games.
Great game.
Karate is out. Squash is hard.
You ever played it?
Yeah, you got to get to that. It just dies. You got to get to the squash.
Yeah, my dad was a star.
My uncle played a ton of squash at the athletic club down here back in the day. It's hard.
Yeah, my dad played at Cornell, and it was a...
Oh, he was on the team?
I guess so.
Next year?
They had built some whole... There's like a whole squash place there now, like a squash palace.
Oh, Ivy League squash is... Yeah. That's no joke.
No, and he was there before they built the big thing, but that was always... He taught me how to play, and it was... It's fun. It's hard.
Hard.
You got to hit it hard.
You do. Yeah, it's not racquetball. That thing's not bouncing much. Karate and baseball. There is no baseball in the 2024 games. Breakdancing in, baseball out.
I take you to Loch Fyne in Argyll and Bute, Scotland.
Yes.
You know, I don't know where Loch Fyne is. I don't know where the McNaughton clan
was based. From around Loch Fyne.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is why I said this is the most Connor McKnight story ever. A lucky lobster has been saved from the pot because it is a rare 1 in 30 million golden lobster.
No! They found a gold?
The incredible crustacean, now nicknamed Goldilobs, was caught by fishermen at Loch Fyne. So does this mean it's a freshwater lobster? Or is Loch Fyne like an inlet from the sea?
I don't know.
The fishermen took the rare lobster to seafood wholesalers John Valance in Glasgow, where the staff were stunned to see the very rare animal. Before lobsters are cooked, they're usually found to be dark brown, olive green, or gray. When they cook, they turn pink, as you know. Experts say the golden color is caused by genetic mutation or outside stimulus. Andrew Nielsen, who works for John Valance, said he instantly knew the stunning lobster wasn't one for the boiling pot. He said, our driver let me know in the batch there was a different colored lobster. We had a look at it. I did not expect to see the golden, didn't know how rare it was till we did some digging. So one of the members of the staff, James Morrison, took to Twitter and asked the Scottish aquarium Deep Sea World if the lobster were a rare find. Deep Sea World confirmed the odds of finding a lobster with this coloring is 1 in 30 million. It's caused by a genetic mutation that causes an overproduction of a certain protein that bonds with the shell pigments. Deep Sea World is already home to one golden lobster, and they hope to be able to donate this one to another aquarium.
I'm losing my mind. Dunderave Castle is the McNaughton Castle.
Your actual family.
It's on Loch Fyne.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that.
I did not know that when I said this is the most McKnight story ever.
That is incredible. Because you should,
if you're a new listener, if you don't know, he's got this whole lobster thing also.
It's a giant lobster thing. We've been doing lobsters as a family for a dinner for like 30 years. I think this will be lobster 40, actually. I know the best way to make and cook lobster in the world. Everybody else has it wrong. We do it right. Dunderave Castle is where the McNaughtons were. They got it, well, we got drunk and left it to the Stewarts. And they found this gold lobster, 1 in 30 million, right by my family's old castle.
Caught by a fisherman at Loch Fyne. So is it an actual freshwater lake?
Loch Fyne is, yeah, it's an inlet. I mean, it's got the, the Firth of Clyde lets into the Atlantic Ocean. It's north of the Isle of Man.
Is it brackish water?
I don't know. Okay. My brother's been. I haven't been. And you can't get to Dunderave Castle because after the Stewarts took it, they sold it to a South African optometrist. So he owns it now.
Of course they did.
You can't,
or a member of ACDC.
You can't get to Dunderave Castle. It's a private residence, so we can't get close to it.
So
is that a lake where you give bad sports thoughts in 1 minute time?
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's John Feinstein. That's different. No, it is actually a sea lake.
Is it?
Yes, it is it's called a sea loch. So it is salt water.
This is absolutely bizarre. You're going to have to send me the story. I got to send that to the entire family. That is absolutely amazing.
All right, I'll get it.
A pilot based in Adelaide, Australia, took an artistically inspired flight path Tuesday morning. Australia's ABC News reports that between 8:53 a.m. and 11:57 a.m., a flight training pilot in a Diamond Star plane followed a course that drew two penises, then spelled out, "I'm bored." All of which could only be detected by a flight tracker. The flight tracking company FlightAware shared an image of the traffic flight with Gizmodo, which is also available on the website, I will show you now.
So he drew two full dongs.
Oh yeah, they're right there.
And spelled out. Look at that.
I'm bored. It's not cursive or anything, but it's got to be looped because he's on a flight.
I
understand how it's got to work. Yeah, it's a great way of putting it. It's like an etch a sketch.
What kind of plane?
It was a, I don't know what kind of equipment he was on. I don't have it. A Diamond Star plane. I think that's the brand of it. I don't have the exact equipment, but there you go. Pilots get bored and draw. This was an intricate, you know, 2 hour, 3 hour expenditure. This was a long, long, long boredom that he drew this thing out. That's incredible.
Back in September, there was a spate of mysterious animal killings in Kentucky that sent law enforcement on a search to find whatever could have ripped open the throats of three miniature horses and two dogs.
It's Swayze and Roadhouse.
The search turned up nothing around Kentucky. There were all sorts of Bigfoot jokes. They thought it might have been a large cat. And then in November, it happened again in Monroe County, Kentucky, warning residents to be on high alert. There was another murder spree. This time it was calves with deep claw marks in their flesh, and some were partially eaten. Kentucky Fish and Wildlife experts didn't at the time believe that the killings were the work of a wild animal, but they didn't know. It just happened again in Kentucky. So this is a creature that now is killing llamas. And I did not know that llamas were used and are used on farms to guard farms. And this happened relatively close to the Kentucky Zoo. So it's adding some intrigue here. Six llamas are dead at the Louisville Llama Farm. Caroline Willett found wool and blood strewn on the morning of February 18th, discovered her animals' mutilated carcasses, each of the animals found with deep bite marks behind their ears and on their legs. They're also considered guard llamas. They said, what could have brought down these large, powerful animals? The Louisville Llama Farm is close to the Louisville Zoo, but the zoo claims none of its animals had anything to do with the mysterious llama slaughter. They believe they may be related to the animal mutilations discovered in these previous months. It has now killed cows, miniature horses, pit bulls, and llamas without being seen or heard.
That's a dangerous beast.
Yes. And isn't this the myth of the chupacabras, right? The killer of goats?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, so careful if you're in Kentucky.
That is the Midday Midway. Rick Hahn, White Sox general manager, sat down with Lawrence Holmes last night. We will bring it back for you next. 670 The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Farmers Insurance. Stay ahead of the game. Find an agent at farmers.com. Former President Barack Obama was there. So was Spike Lee, no doubt scouting for his beloved Knicks. Tickets were selling for Super Bowl-like prices. The whole world seemed to be watching Duke and North Carolina last night, not because it's one of sports' better rivalries, but because of one player. This was another example of the phenomenon Zion Williamson has become, a one-name athlete, simply Zion, to most a la Tiger, Michael, and Serena. And then, less than a minute into the game, he was gone, helped off the court with a sprained knee after appearing to slip out of one of his swoosh sneakers. The air went out of the building, and Carolina never trailed en route to an easy 88-72 victory. The injury doesn't appear serious, but who knows who will whisper in Zion's ear about whether to play, not for pay, again. The world awaits. I'm John Feinstein.
Hey, not to brag, but Buffalo Wild Wings is the official chicken wing of the NCAA. Yep, soak it in. You know who isn't the official chicken wing of the NCAA? Your couch. Because your couch doesn't have a partnership deal with the NCAA. So do you want to be home on your couch, the official nothing of the NCAA? Or do you want to be at Buffalo Wild Wings? The official place that has lots of TVs and beers and screaming fans, and it's officially better than your couch for college basketball. Buffalo Wild Wings. Please drink responsibly.
Visit AppleChevy.com and pick from over 500 vehicles at huge winter event discounts. Qualify and get 0% financing for 72 months on select new Chevy models. For details, visit AppleChevy.com. Find new roads.
When you're shopping for a Chevy, pick Apple Chevrolet.
So you're ready to ask the biggest question of your life. The only question before that question. How do you find the perfect ring to ask it with? With the incredible selection of diamonds at Jared and our price match guarantee, you can dare to stop searching and find the perfect diamond at a price you'll love. Visit your local Jared store today and dare to be devoted.
We promise to match any price on a like loose certified diamond of the same quality from any other jewelry retailer. See jared.com/pricematch for details.
And now, an ad from Dad.
Oh yeah, just this one line, right? All right, here we go. Save money on car insurance when you... Huh? Oh, it's not? I thought that was the mic. This is the mic here. Okay. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Is that too close? Sorry. Well, I don't know where to stand. Nobody's told me where to stand.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Introducing new LifeProof slip-resistant wood-look porcelain tile from The Home Depot. Starting at just $1.99 a square foot, it's 50% more slip-resistant than ordinary tile. It's waterproof, stain-proof, scratch-resistant, and works indoors or out. Step confidently in your kitchen, bathroom, patio, or any area of your home with new LifeProof slip-resistant porcelain tile. Just $1.99 a square foot. Only at The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Selection varies by store. Slip resistance based on tiles that meet a DCOF less than or equal to 0.42.
It's the ultimate sleep number event on the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. The
only bed that intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. Now ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition smart bed. Plus, special financing on all smart beds during our Ultimate Sleep Number event. Only for a limited time. To find your local Sleep Number store, go to sleepnumber.com. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us. John, you talk about the attributes that Jim Boylan has. It's gone from, you know, hard-nosed defensive guys to offensive player coaches, right? Scott Skiles to Vinny Del Negro to Tibbs to Fred and now to Jim Boylan. It feels like it just goes back and forth each time there's a coaching move. What is your type of coach?
The thing that I want more than anything in a coach, two things. I want them to be stand-up guys who hold players to a standard and hold them accountable. And in a way that is, you know, you have to have confrontation, but you can't be combative with that. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, I truly believe in the teaching component of our game. It's a grind. It's paying attention to the little things. I believe in coaches who get into that grind every day because I think ultimately that makes you better.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score at 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs.
Theo said, Ian, that the offense broke somewhere along the lines, and in the second half specifically. Did you guys have a feeling while it was going on that it was broken, you were trying to rescue it or trying to fix it, or is that something that you just see afterward?
I think one of the things that people overlook is how good we were in the first half.
Yeah.
We were one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in baseball in the first half, and we were producing at a pretty incredible clip. So I think it was kind of a slow digression from there. And then I kind of look back at the end of the year after putting our heads down, getting underwater and trying to finish that thing off. You turn around and you say, oh, God, something went terribly wrong.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Turning off the lights is a great way to help out the environment and save on your electric bill. If you're using CFL bulbs, be sure to employ the 15-minute rule. Leave lights on if you'll be out of the room for 15 minutes or less, and turn them off whenever you'll be out of the room for more than 15 minutes. This helps to extend the life of your bulb and save the most electricity. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
So you're ready to ask the biggest question of your life, the only question before that question. How do you find the perfect ring to ask it with? With the incredible selection of diamonds at Jared and our price match guarantee, you can dare to stop searching and find the perfect diamond at a price you'll love. Visit your local Jared store today and dare to be devoted.
We promise to match any price on a like loose certified diamond of the same quality from any other jewelry retailer. See jared.com/pricematch for details.
For the ones who get it done.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. White Sox general manager Rick Hahn was on The Score with Lawrence Holmes regarding their failed effort to land Manny Machado, and Lawrence asked him if the terms of the reported White Sox offer were indeed accurate.
Candidly, I don't want to go too far down the path talking about specifics within the negotiation. That said, enough of that's been out there. So much of this stuff has leaked out publicly that I think I am comfortable telling you that, yes, generally that is accurate.
Okay, the other thing actually came from our own Bruce Levine. And he tweeted out last night that the organization doesn't believe in out clauses. So I wanted to ask you, one, is that true? And two, if it is true, what's the philosophy behind it?
Yeah, you know, that's not true. And I actually texted Bruce late in the evening last night when it came to my attention that was out there, because unfortunately, yesterday was a tough day, and the baseball gods had a little added twist in store for me, in that it happened to be the day that all GMs have mandatory media availability late in the afternoon. So I got to stand up there and talk through our disappointment twice due to the timing of it. And in that afternoon media availability, I was actually asked point blank by one of our beat guys whether there was an organizational philosophy on opt-outs. And I said, absolutely not. There's not an organizational philosophy. You make the assessment based upon the individual give and take within the negotiation. Now, a couple of things along those lines. First, this organization in the Albert Bell deal was actually the first one to ever do an opt-out clause, which obviously was many moons ago, but does show at least the historical precedent. In time, you've seen in the last few ones of these, I haven't seen the one in the ultimate Machado deal, but you've seen some of these that have sort of shifted the burden a little bit off of the team, in that previously those player options / opt-out clauses have been extremely player beneficial. If the guy gets hurt, he's going to stick around, or if he underperforms, he's going to stick around, and if he happens to be worth more than what's left on the contract, he's going to opt out and go somewhere else, or at least get a raise. In recent years, they've become a little more balanced, and in that there's sort of a mutual option structure in a lot of these deals where the guy may opt out, but you have the ability to keep him at perhaps a higher rate that's already set. Those are certainly preferential to any team, and we're no exception to that. But at the end, in terms of the simple answer, is there an organizational philosophy against all opt-outs whatsoever in any form? Absolutely not.
I would love to know about the process of how Machado ends up signing with San Diego from the perspective of the White Sox. How much did you know about what San Diego's offer was?
We had a meeting with the agent on Monday afternoon, and then Jerry was there personally, Kenny was there, as was I, and we had a very candid conversation back and forth with his representatives about what the market generally looked like. Now, obviously, they're not going to say San Diego's offered me X and this other team's offered me Y, and we didn't get into the specifics, really, of the identity of the other suitors. Obviously, a lot of this has been out there. Seems like more than in any previous offseason, the media's had access to supposed offers and supposed interests and supposed meetings. So we did have a general sense of who the other players were, and we also got a pretty direct sense from his agent about what he felt the ultimate market was going to look like. And part of those conversations, though, is not just I got this guaranteed amount of dollars and this guaranteed amount of years, particularly on a deal that, you know, extends for the bulk, if not all, of a decade. There's a lot of triggers involved. There's a lot of pressure points, ranging certainly length and guarantee, but also upside, the opt-out that we talked about, no trade, the flexibility, how the payment streams are. I mean, they're obviously complicated triggers, and we talked about a lot of the things that were important to Manny and his wife and trying to make them most comfortable to deal. And we talked about what was important to us. And ultimately, in crafting the final proposal that we made Monday evening, we felt that we had presented something that protected everyone in terms of upside flexibility and as well as floor.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out, like, if there was an opportunity, if Dan Lozano says, okay, this is, and clearly what you're saying is that was not the case. If he goes, well, this is what we've got, can you guys match it? I was just trying to figure out, did the White Sox have an opportunity to match what Machado eventually signed for?
I mean, I don't think it would be fair to them to say, hey, you've got X, give us the opportunity to go to X plus one. But we did have a sense, and we had very candid conversations about where he thought it was going and how we would go about trying to make him a White Sox. This was the ultimate contract offer was based on those conversations about what the priorities were. At the end of the day, and a thing that is, easy to lose sight of when you get sort of caught in the weeds of these things or the emotion of these things, is that this is free agency. These guys worked extremely hard to get to the point where they can make a decision based upon whatever they want. It can be guaranteed dollars. It can be upside. It can be my wife has a cousin there who she's very close with, and we want to be there. So there's a lot of moving pieces that ultimately lead to these decisions. I don't think there was any specific thing that we necessarily refused to do that therefore, you know, torpedoed the whole situation.
Spending a few minutes with White Sox senior vice president and general manager Rick Hahn. Well, let's talk about emotion. I'm sure that you've probably seen it from White Sox fans. I know that I've seen it via Twitter and talking to people. This is a fan base that's been pretty supportive of the rebuild. And you and I have actually marveled at some of that support that White Sox fans have given the White Sox over the last couple of years being a part of this rebuild. So when it comes to them kind of feeling upset about Machado not being put into this mix, how do you want to try and soothe them as a fan base, mm-hmm. being that they have been supportive of the way this has gone?
I absolutely get it. I 100% get it. I get the frustration and disappointment and feel it myself. I mean, we've talked about it. I talked about it yesterday. You and I have talked about it before. You know, fundamentally, everyone who works for the club is a fan. There's that part of you that has that live and die emotion, not just because it's your career, but because there's that fan part of you, some of which at times can be a little irrational or a little emotional and can get pissed off. And I was feeling that yesterday and was feeling it probably a little bit still today when I woke up. And it's tough. And look, the fan support has been outstanding throughout the first 2+ years of this rebuild, which we all very much appreciate. But we also recognize that part of the reason for that is that we've lived up to what we said we were going to do, starting with, you know, and broke down these myths about the White Sox over the last several years. The White Sox would never rebuild. Well, obviously we proved that wrong. The White Sox would never incur a penalty to sign a big high price tag international player or amateur player, which we then did with Luis Robert. The White Sox would never make a trade that would help the Cubs, even if it was in the best interest of the organization. Obviously we did that with the Eloy and Cease deal. But one of those sort of last narratives or things that the White Sox supposedly would never do was land a top of market, top dollar free agent. And this would have been an opportunity to prove that wrong. Now, obviously, as the reports are out there, offering a guy in the vicinity of $250 million is a pretty aggressive move. One that I think a lot of people previously would have thought this organization would never have done. I don't take a great deal of solace in trying hard when you come up short. We work in pro sports. It's pretty binary. It's win-lose. You either get it done or you don't. We didn't get it done. So I understand the frustration. But we have a track record of proving those narratives false. And we know that's sort of like the one last narrative that's out there. We tried to prove it false over the last few months leading up to the other night. And even though we're disappointed by the failure, this isn't the last time we're going to try to do it. That money's going to get spent. When it gets spent, I'm not sure. How it gets spent, I'm not yet sure, other than knowing that it's going to be spent similar to the fashion we tried to spend it earlier in the week, and that is to put us in the best position for the long term to win multiple championships. That's been the mission from the start.
I'm not trying to take away your leverage, but mm-hmm. I was thinking about, considering where the Sox have been as an organization over the last few years, that the idea that you might have to overspend for a free agent is out there. How fair is that?
I don't think that's entirely fair. Like, I really don't. I until we convert on one of these guys, there will be series and thoughts like that. Oh, they must be an unattractive destination, so they have to overpay. But in talking to players, talking to agents, being in the room when these conversations are happening and hearing from, you know, teammates and how we're viewed in the player community, it's very, very positive. People see where this is going. Again, people have different priorities when they make their choices in free agency. But at no point do I think the thought was, well, I need to get 110% of my value or something like that in order to become a White Sox. We've had players, not in this instance, but we've had players take less to come here and be part of this historically, and I think that's going to be the case going forward. I mean, in that we're going to be a desirable destination, and it's only going to get more so as this group matures together and people see at the big league level, proof at the big league level, of what we're capable of doing.
You and Kenny both applauded Jerry for giving you some financial flexibility to perhaps push the rebuild along a little bit faster. Was $300 million guaranteed a financial Rubicon that you couldn't cross, or was that player-specific?
There is no magic limit on where we would go. You got to make the evaluation based on every individual player. They're obviously all different. They have different risks. They've got different upside, different benefits, and how it fits to the club. And at no point did we sit in a room and say, I don't care who it is, we're never going to pay above X. That just isn't the case. In this deal, at the end of the day, we weren't comfortable, as Kenny alluded to, we weren't going to get to that level, but we obviously tried to address some other concerns that the player had in order to make the offer appealing. But again, there is no limit. It's about making an assessment about the value of the individual player, the risk that that player brings, and what potential alternatives exist in the future for that money.
How would you describe the White Sox interactions with Scott Boras and Bryce Harper?
I don't want to go too far down this path because we're really not supposed to talk about free agents. I will say that there is an open line of communication. I feel Scott and I have very direct and candid dialogue whenever we speak, and we're always available to each other. But in terms of getting into any specific, like, give and take in any conversations or where things sit or don't sit, like, first of all, I'm supposed to avoid that under rule, and second of all, I think it doesn't serve anybody interest to you know, air negotiations publicly.
Fair enough. I just know that is something that White Sox fans are looking at and saying, well, there's another 26-year-old who's pretty great that still hasn't signed with a team, and if you have money available, it would be great that if that became the focus. But I understand that you don't want to necessarily negotiate through my show, and that's fine. So let me ask you this. Considering that you didn't get Machado, that, you know, Harper and a bunch of other free agents are out there, and how late free agency has gone this year, how do the Sox go about spending the money that hasn't been spent, and does it affect the 2019 White Sox as far as you're concerned?
I think there's two ways of looking at that. First, again, we're going to spend the money at some point, and it's going to be spent in terms of the big dollars, and it's going to be spent to enhance our position for the long term. Can't tell you if that's going to happen this offseason, but it's going to happen at some point. In terms of how that affects the 2019 White Sox, obviously if you know we wind up spending it this offseason, it improves the product immediately. From my perspective, assuming we do nothing else for the rest of the, for the next several weeks before opening day, the arrow continues to point up for this organization. We're going to be better on opening day than we were at the end of last season. And I think we're going to be better at the end of next season than we're going to be at opening day of 2019. And then as we, a year from right now when we're talking, and we're starting to enter that year four of the rebuild, when you've seen organizations really take that step forward when things have gone well, I think there's going to be a whole different level of excitement at that point. But again, Ricky put it the other day, something to the effect, you know, some of the flowers are starting to bloom. And I think that's accurate. I think there's going to be some progress, not only from the guys who have been at the big league level in 2018, but there's going to be, you know, additional guys like Eloy and at some point probably Dylan Cease and perhaps some others that are going to continue to show this process moving forward over the course of the 2019 season. But I suspect when you and I talk a year from now, the conversation, the tone of the conversation is going to be a lot more optimistic and a lot more exciting given what we're on the doorstep of being able to accomplish.
Okay, so how would you feel? Do you feel that White Sox fans should still be bullish on what you're doing as far as rebuilding this thing from the ground up?
You know, I am the last thing I'm going to do, because, again, I growing up in this town and getting mad at just about every franchise as a kid and as a teenager and as a fan at some point for something they did or didn't do, I'm the last guy to tell a fan, you know, how they should digest our actions or view our performance. That's part of the right of being a fan. I will say around here, in around the league, people are very positive and very optimistic about where this thing is going. And as you look at the total framework of what we've accomplished in the last, you know, little over 2 years since we started this rebuild in earnest, there's a lot of good things going on. There's a lot of positive improvements as an organization, and a lot of the depth, a lot of the upside, and a very fine, young, championship caliber core coming together. Absolutely, that disappointment and not being able to add to it in the last couple of days, but we're not going to stop continuing to try to add to it, and it's going to happen at some point here in the hopefully not too distant future that people are going to start seeing what people around the league are talking about in terms of what we're capable of doing.
Rick, one more thing on the Machado issue. I just was wondering, how do you guys kind of unpack and dissect your approach in free agency, and then do you use that to try and affect what you may do going forward?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to lie to you, it's not going to be today. But at some point here, once we get the fog of war, so to speak, fades and we get a little more objective, we'll sit down and go through what worked and what didn't work in terms of any recruitment. Obviously, you've heard me talk about we're not looking for a participation trophy or the fact that we tried hard or all that. That said, there are a lot of people in this organization who worked extremely hard across departments, from, you know, marketing and finance to community relations, PR, outside of the baseball department, who played a really impressive role in putting us on the doorstep of getting this thing done. It didn't get done in the end, and that's on me, but the organization as a whole should be proud about the effort they made, and I think that effort and this experience is going to serve us very well the next time we're in this situation.
Rick Hahn with Lawrence Holmes on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The segment brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Why do banks make banking so incredibly complicated? At Lakeside Bank, they make banking incredibly easy. No hoops to jump through. Their bankers have the experience and authority to get things done fast. They've made banking simple. Join them, Lakeside Bank. It's about time.
Couple of things to get to, I suppose, from Lawrence's solid interview with Rick Hahn. He's reiterating that this organization will spend money on players that will help the future, not just the short term. So I would imagine the only guy out there for you really in free agency now is Bryce Harper, and it didn't sound all that optimistic about Harper himself, and that can be okay. It's just now you've got to have a whole organization hit with these prospects. These kids have to hit, they have to play, they have to pitch. That would have been the case with Machado or without. It's going to be without for some pretty specific reasons.
Wide open for you right now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show to get your reaction to what you heard from the White Sox general manager, your thoughts on the injury to Zion Williamson. Also, Eamon Brennan of The Athletic, their national college basketball writer, is going to be joining us at 12:20 to talk about what the ramifications may be of that injury, of the discussion that it has engendered regarding why some of these big-time players are choosing to play for free when they don't necessarily have to. Maybe they want to, and that's a completely different psychology of finding out why that is as well, with so much at stake and so much at risk. 312-644-6767. You have The Score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, you're listening to the voice of the Chicago sports fan for over 25 years. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers and Chicagoland's perfectly sized SUV.
Hey, not to brag, but Buffalo Wild Wings is the official chicken wing of the NCAA. Yep, soak it in. You know who isn't the official chicken wing of the NCAA? Your couch. Because your couch doesn't have a partnership deal with the NCAA. So do you want to be home on your couch, the official nothing of the NCAA? Or do you want to be at Buffalo Wild Wings, the official place that has lots of TVs and beers and screaming fans, and it's officially better than your couch for college basketball? Buffalo Wild Wings. Please drink responsibly.
Visit AppleChevy.com and pick from a huge selection of certified pre-owned Chevy models. Qualify and get a low 1.9 APR financing for 60 months on select certified models. For details, visit AppleChevy.com.
When you're shopping for a Chevy, pick Apple Chevrolet.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. It's no secret that salaries have not kept up with the cost of living. You probably had to use the credit cards more than you thought last year. Now the statements are coming in the mail and the minimums are more than a car payment. Your home has gained equity at the fastest pace in over a decade. Put that new equity to work for you and pay off all your credit cards with a cash out refinance today. The 5-minute loan approval only available at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
That bathroom upgrade is within reach at the Winter Kitchen and Bath event now at the Home Depot, starting with the exclusive Pfister Venturi Bath Faucet. It's a two-handle, widespread brushed nickel faucet with a spot defense finish that resists water spots and fingerprints. And right now, you can get your hands on one for just $119. So upgrade your bathroom and let the savings flow. The Winter Kitchen and Bath event at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 24th while supplies last.
While this past year you may have been wasteful with money, rest easy that your Canon Megatank printer helps you save. Always included is enough ink to print up to 18,000 pages in black and 7,000 in color. Always printing sharp text and beautiful photos. Visit Amazon and shop.usa.canon.com.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score. Official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go. Oh.
What a shot.
Zitzer's going to attempt a left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie. Yes. Bobby Portis has tied the ballgame with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. How does Cody Parkey come back to this team? And I'm not even talking about his teammates.
That's hard, man, because he's going to walk into Soldier Field, or he's not going to walk onto the practice field in Bourbon A and get booed. And that's a hard thing to deal with.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan.
Jim, we get a lot of callers and texters that say that frustration that you sometimes show, that intensity that you always show, that your coaching style might not be in harmony with the modern NBA player. How do you handle that sort of criticism?
I'm going to be who I am, and I go back to the competitive part. I think I'm trying to get our guys to understand the competitive piece. You know, we got bulls across our chest, and I want them to be more intense, you know, more committed, more physical, more communicative, and take more ownership. So what I have had is guys take ownership of their play. When they play poorly and they've let the team down, they've admitted it, and they're trying to get better and move on. And I think that's what a good NBA player does.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us.
Anybody can be critical of us, but I'll give you an example. And I know that no one likes to hear me or anyone else point back in time. But when we did have money and we had a very good basketball team with Derek and those guys, we were in the game for LeBron and those guys. Now, obviously, we didn't win out. But we were in the game. But we have to be realistic. We can't make decisions with the hope that something like that will happen. We have to be realistic in where we're at in this development. And we're not making excuses. This is very hard for our fan base. We understand it's very hard for us to be here. But we have to remain patient. You know, we can't make decisions that are going to be long-term mistakes for us at this point in time.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
EAUS LLC.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Well, you heard Rick Hahn, a very earnest Rick Hahn. And these things are fluid conversations. I don't know what Dan Lozano told the White Sox throughout the entire process about where they stood, about what his client's actual interest was in them, or if they just got played. It's possible this entire process was them acting as a foil for to optimize the bid from San Diego, where Machado ultimately wanted to be.
It's possible.
We'll never know.
I get that a lot of White Sox fans would love for the White Sox to turn their financial weapons toward Bryce Harper and pursue him the same way they pursued Machado, but I also get the sense that really the marketplace for Bryce Harper is a little different than the one for Machado in a lot of different ways and for a lot of different reasons. But doesn't it seem as though Harper and the Phillies are the match, and that in order to get into that marketplace, you run the risk of being the only foil on the market for the Phillies? You know, you'd just be driving the price, or for Harper, I guess, you'd be driving the price up, and the Phillies, who have committed to spending stupid money and haven't done that yet, are prepared to go to whatever lengths, it would seem, or you have to assume they're ready to go to whatever lengths to get Bryce Harper, their guy, this offseason, because they promised they would.
Here's an old school score caller name for you, Marty in Highland Park on the Score. Marty!
Hey, Dan. Hey. You know how long I've rooted for the White Sox. Connor, I was the guy who came up to you at Sox Fest and said, how can you take this job when you've been a Cub fan all your life?
Oh, Marty, what's up?
Yeah, I'm through. This was a sham by the Sox. They played a shell game. Either that or the complete morons. They must have known they had to overbid to get him. They must have known he wanted a buyout. They must have known he wasn't going to take incentives. And then Hahn has the nerve to say he's proud of some of the things they've done. As Teddy Greenstein said, there's no silver medal here. This team has been horrible. They have been unwatchable. Connor at least got paid to watch them. I didn't. And life's too short to drink bad wine. I'm fed. I'm through.
Marty, I would say hang in there, because I do think they're doing a lot of correct things in this rebuild, and I also think that everybody is underestimating what they're getting in Eloy Jimenez. I think you might be back real quick, like the old joke about the golfer that slashes his wrists and then slams them back together. What time are we playing tomorrow? You know, I wouldn't jump ship quite yet.
Well, if you watch Yoan Moncada, I'm jumping ship.
I also am not done with Yoan Moncada. I think there are skills there that play at the major league level that I think with a couple of adjustments to major league pitching and fixing some holes in that swing, he could get real good real quick too.
Well, God bless him. I hope they do well, but it's without me.
Oh, you know what? I half believe
God bless, Marty.
I only half believe him. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
The Knicks will make you laugh. There's a story there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make you laugh with a Knicks story when we come back. It's okay. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Apple Chevy is a proud finalist for the Time Dealer of the Year Award, chosen for their commitment to community and customer service. A better car buying experience starts at a better dealer. AppleChevy.com. Find new roads.
When you're shopping for a Chevy, pick Apple Chevrolet. It's the ultimate Sleep Number event on the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. The only bed that intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. Your Sleep Number setting. Now ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing on all smart beds during our ultimate Sleep Number event. Only for a limited time. To find your local Sleep Number store, go to sleepnumber.com. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us.
You referenced at your news conference today, candidly, Jim Boylan's rough start. And you said when you're in there with him every day, you see things that are going well. Share with us what those things are that make you feel positive about your head coach.
Well, when I watch practice every day, I see organization, I see detail, I see guys being held to a standard, especially for a young group of players that they need to be held to. Now, right now, not